The U.S. Supreme Court today hears arguments in a case brought by a disgruntled former client of famed criminal defense lawyer Johnny Cochran. At issue is whether the courts have the power in a defamation lawsuit to silence the critics of a public figure like Cochran, rather than use the traditional tool of imposing damages. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
In 1983, Johnny Cochran represented Ulysses Torrey in a civil case arising from a police shooting. Cochran eventually withdrew from the case when Torrey demanded $10 million. More than a decade later, the O.J. Simpson case hit the headlines. Johnny Cochran became a household name, and Ulysses Torrey began picketing Cochran's office, with signs saying things like, "Johnny is a crook, a liar, and a thief." Torrey sometimes had small groups of people who picketed with him. He later admitted he recruited some of them by offering to buy them lunch. He said openly that he would stop picketing Cochran's office when the lawyer paid him the money he owed him, an amount Torrey now put at $15,000. Johnny Cochran sued Torrey for defamation and invasion of privacy. At trial, he conceded that he could not show that his law practice had been harmed, in short, that he could not prove damages. But he sought a court order, an injunction silencing Torrey. A Los Angeles judge concluded that Cochran had been defamed, that the picketing had invaded his privacy, that Cochran owed Torrey no money, and the judge gave Cochran what he wanted, a court order that barred Ulysses Torrey, his wife, or any of his agents from making any public comments about Cochran anywhere forever. A California appeals court upheld the order, and Torrey appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, asserting that the injunction violates his right of free speech. Representing Johnny Cochran today, lawyer Jonathan Cole will tell the justices that Ulysses Torrey was using picketing to extort money from Cochran.
There was no other way to stop what I viewed as the extortionist behavior other than utilizing the form of injunction that we did.
Never in American history has the Supreme Court of the United States upheld an injunction as a remedy in a defamation case.
Duke Law Professor Erwin Chemerinsky represents Ulysses Torrey. He will tell the justices that an injunction like this is a prior restraint on speech, something that the Supreme Court has not only never approved in a defamation case, but has said is unconstitutional except in the rarest of cases, when it's justified by such things as the most imminent threat to national security. Chemerinsky says Johnny Cochran had alternatives if he really thought he was the victim of extortion.
He certainly could have filed a criminal complaint with the police against Ulysses Torrey.
He didn't do that, says Chemerinsky, because he wasn't being extorted by Ulysses Torrey.
All Ulysses Torrey was doing was expressing his opinion on a public sidewalk, and that's speech protected by the First Amendment.
This is not protected speech.
Cochran attorney Jonathan Cole.
Why didn't he go to the cops? So what?
But Professor Chemerinsky counters that if the Supreme Court upholds this injunction, it will soon be replicated routinely, and the effect on freedom of speech and press, he says, would be devastating.
Does that mean if the New York Times is found to defame George Bush, they can never say anything about George Bush? That's why this case matters so much.
The answer, says Chemerinsky, is to allow the same broad freedom of speech that the U.S. always has, and if a person is defamed, he must first prove harm in order to collect damages.
Fame has benefits and fame has costs. To the extent that people might be expressing opinions that Johnny Cochran doesn't like, he's just going to have thick skin and take it.
Mr. Cochran's lawyer, Jonathan Cole, acknowledges that he will be trying to chart new waters in the Supreme Court today.
If I'm wrong, I'm sure that the justices will strike it down as unconstitutional. I mean, trust me, I've been told I'm going to lose 9-0.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.